Okay. We're now at Tuesday, December 6th, 2011. What happened was they gave us new devices to record with, and they didn't inform the students in charge that these devices only hold three shayurim, not what did the other one hold? 15. Maybe 15 shayurim. So it got cut off on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. My dear student Danny Wolf is good enough to come and help me, and I just want to re-record the completion of both shayurim. My wife asked me why. The boys heard it. I said yes, but they're only a small number compared to those listening across the world. And Mendach Rachmanis Havanav say. So let me continue just where I left off, that Reb Moshe made the point that it's important for a woman to look nice and to please her husband. And he quotes the Gemara about the grandson of Reb Choni Hamagil, Shehikpid Shetehe Yishto Mishkata Kedei Shelo Yitein Einov V'Isha Acheret. V'Nimtza, Reb Moshe writes, She'ika Malyuta Gam Litzad Zeh V'Lachein Ma Shehikpidu Kedin V'Yesh Gam Ma'ala B'Zeh V'Yein L'Chaznichu Al Zeh. That because the man is makpid that his wife shouldn't shave off her hair and that she should wear a shetel, we shouldn't consider the man a kaldat. And you see, what you see here is a very realistic and healthy attitude. Sex, thank God, is here to stay. We've lectured on it. Chazal have spoken about it in many places. And I just was speaking with, I believe it was a grandson the other day, about the Medrash Rabbah, Vayar Shem et Kol Asher Asai Hinei Tov Miyod, and how the Yetzer Ra is considered even better than the Yetzer Tov. And lulei the sexual urge, who would marry, who would compromise, who would build a house, etc. I was speaking with a married grandson, Dafka. I recall now, I was walking to Mincha, and he was walking. He had already Dav Mincha B'tzibur, and he was walking to his where the house, his parents' home, where he grew up. And you see, Reb Moshe talks about here, gedolei, gedolei, what are we talking about? Tanoyim, Amoroyim, Kedoshei Elyon. And the wife had to understand that the man should have a wife that's appealing and pleasing, and he should not be looking at anyone else. And even among such gedolim, they were choshish for this. And this is really a magnificent ending to the tshuva, where you see Reb Moshe b'chol gadolto, the great posek, but also the great human being who understands life well. And I can tell you other stories about Reb Moshe. I knew the family. I know the sons. I know the late daughter Shifra Zichron Levracha. And you know, when you talk about Reb Moshe's family, you know that Reb Moshe David Tendler was very upset with the Art Scroll volume because it made Reb Moshe look like an angel and not a human being. May Alma Hadain. And probably the greatness of the Litvish Rabbanim and the Litvish Rashi Yeshiva and the Litvish Gedoli Yisrael is that they nishkevizin meifsim, but they walked among their people, and what an inspiration they were. And this is Reb Moshe's tshuva. So once again we see the question of kihilat in the United States. It's a challenge, and you can't say there's a kahila. Nothing has really developed. It is literally a challenge. People have come in from all over. People have survived. Go prove who's who, what's what. Who knows who the other one is. I spoke about the Ridbaz and the introduction to his Sfarim, and it's worth, I write about it in my postdoctoral research, it's worth seeing the Rakafet Aron just to see what the Ridbaz had to say. And there's a lot of truth to it. And therefore, and when you talk about the United States, you can't talk about a Minhag America. But when a woman comes into her husband's house, she is obligated to follow the husband. Ein hachinami, when you're raised a certain way, it can be very difficult. I recognize that. I realize that. We'll come to that next week, Bezrat Hashem. And you have to understand, if she was raised in a Satma school and this is what she was taught, and unfortunately in some of the Haredi world they teach if you don't do the way we do, you're not a good Jew. To me that's the antithesis of Torah Hashem Tamima, of Tzelem Elokim, of the Mut Adam, of the Gemara at the end of Brachot, Kishen Shepatzafeimen on the Mut, Deatheimen on the Mut. But if she was raised that way, we have to explain to her that this is what your husband wishes, and you're now mimakum shenahagu, you're now married, isha tesovev geva, and halachat kama v'kama, when it comes to a question of good looks and being attractive and keeping what I call the feminine mystique, or Chazal say that even an older lady, and how true Chazal, the insight they had, that even Al-Saf, when she's on the edge of the grave, she's still putting on lipstick, still putting on makeup. It's an open Gemara. And here, Reb Moshe is very thoughtful and very insightful. What's interesting is that you'll see next week, in a similar question, Reb Moshe takes a different point of view, which is really amazing, where his feeling for the woman overcomes the psak should be in favor of the man, and in the tshuva we'll see next week, you'll see Reb Moshe with his under the table, he knocks the man out of the box in a very clever, insightful way, as we will see. But this is Reb Moshe, and I consider it one of the greatest privileges of my life that I was exposed to such individuals at an early stage. This is why I have such warmth and feeling for Balei Tshuva. Because I look at myself and, you know, I explained it that this girl asked me, am I a Baal Tshuva? You're also a Baal Tshuva. So I said, you know, I didn't want to hurt her. I saw how much it meant to her that I should be in the same league. But on one hand, I am a Baal Tshuva in the sense that I didn't have parental guidance. It was America of the 30s, the 40s when I came into the world. And it was a whole generation like that. I can tell you all the Gedolei Yisrael that came out of YU from that period, 80%. Were in the same boat that I was. I can tell you one by one by one, but I don't want to mention names because, I don't know, some people are mocked, you shouldn't know their past. I am not. My life is an open book. But I was fortunate that from the age of 11 on, imagine I was exposed to Gedolei Yisrael, the Mira, the Shanghai crowd. It's an unbelievable schut. So ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to have spoken and learning with Rav Moshe so many times, and shailas and questions, And to have known Reb Moshe, what can I tell you? Zchut miyuchedet b'mina. So I want to end off answering a letter that I received. But let me just summarize. What did we do? We saw Rabbi Ovadia Yosef itim chalim itim shaitim. I didn't quote that yesterday, but 2 days ago. But let me quote it today. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that the schizophrenic. And Reb Ovadia has come so far in his psak that we all are svadim, edot ha-mizrach, that originally he said she needs hatarat nedarim till he dries. Then he says in the later tshuva she can eat without hatarat nedarim. And here I showed you at the start of the shiur that when she goes back to her father's house, she becomes a svadiyar again. And it's mamish chatzi yavet chatzi ben chorim, eitim shaitim eitim cholim. Well, at one moment she's a svatiya, and the next moment she is an ashkenaziya. And then we did the two tshuvot from Reb Moshe, the first, and these were early tshuvot from Reb Moshe, dealing in the original volume on Or HaChaim, dealing with the American reality. And here he deals in 1955 with women inter-ethnic marriage. And Reb Moshe says he always passes an inter-ethnic marriage. The woman has to act like her husband. This is what Nesuin is about. And he quotes, "Ubegerushinema v'sholchami beito." So it shows you that as long as they're married, it has to be according to the man. You need one house, one minhag, makom shenahagu, and he says clearly in America you cannot say there's a universal minhag which would knock out all these secondary minhagim, because in America it is a challenge. It became a challenge, Baruch Hashem. It still is a challenge, and in the foreseeable future I don't see this problem being solved in America. It could be in Israel, that ultimately, as a result of the process of the yin gathering of the exiles, that one day there will be a Minhag Eretz Yisrael, it'll be more widely accepted. It could be. But this has to take time. It can't be forced. It's something that people, it can't be ruled from on high. It has to be Fuch Hazeh Ma'amad Davar. And this is something that people have to work out. And this is a gradual process. It's like the interethnic marriage today, as Rav Yaakov Yosef said, among the Chabadnikim and among the Tzionim Datiyim, you find endless interethnic marriage and mutual respect. In the Haredi world, this still remains a problem, a grievous problem, I would say. But 100 years from now, Nechya V'nira. Now, I received a letter from a Rabbi Rafael Dovber Gurevich, a very beautiful letter, very moving letter, and I thank him very much. I believe he overstates my influence on the world, but it was very moving. What he's referring to is a number of years ago, it's not that long ago, maybe 2 years ago, there was a move on the YU Rosh Yeshiva faculty to Aser Chabad entirely. Not just to say that we have a problem with the Messianists, but in general. And two of the famous YU Rosh Yeshiva visiting Israel, and I did the debate, or to use stronger language, I did to tell them off with Neyam V'yeder in the Beit Medrash with very strong words, and I felt very strongly about this, that it's not right to place all Chabad into a messianic framework. And I told them I don't want to go through the whole debate, and students heard, evidently it reached America, and according to my my Talmud Chaver here, it turns out that in America there was a weekend in Crown Heights, and the Rebbeim came out with a Nisa, and he claims that when they heard about my viewpoint, it created a desire to go, and there were more people in Crown Heights than ever before for that YU weekend. I can't believe I have that type of influence. Anochi avdechem hakatan, I sit in a little place here, and as you know, I don't even believe YU acknowledges my existence. So for whatever the reasons are, I've always been trying to figure that out. I've never been able to hit the nail on the head. But I assume that they're mad at me for getting them this kollel and Mr. Gross, and it cost money, etc. The Daila Hakima Baramisa. I hope I'm wrong, because I should be carried on golden platters for bringing YU to Israel. I hope I'm wrong, but I can't find another reason. I mean, I'm not left, I'm not right, I'm an honest person. Thank God a little bit I heard from the Rav. I know a little Torah, I don't know much, but a little bit I do know, etc., etc. I also think no one believes I'm a Rosh Yeshiva, and I give Sherman Shas and Paiske, because everyone in America thinks I'm in Jewish history, that's all I do is Jewish history. And the truth is, I basically have never even taught Jewish history. But it doesn't help, because they're there, and here I'm here, and no one has ever, from the YU faculty, Halavadi would walk in and sit in my shiurim, or the president, or whoever's in charge, or Rabbi Reese, and see what I'm teaching. But anyway, I don't believe I have the influence you claim, but I thank you. Even my wife is impressed by your beautiful words. Now, you asked me four questions at the end, and I just want to respond, because these are questions that I've mentioned in class, and I feel it deserves a response. Number one, you know I quote the Rav, that the Rav said whenever you have a bit of a tassel with a chassid, you put him against the wall by saying, how come you don't eat in the sukkah and shmini atzeres, and how come you daven shelo b'sman? I have to tell you, I dealt with these questions in great depth, and I grew up, and when I dealt with chassidus, when the 3.5 years I gave, the only time I did teach a history of ideas, it was the history of Torah in modern times. It's probably my most famous lectures ever. So my correspondent here brings a nice Hasidic pupil to justify Tfilah Shelo B'Zman. I want to tell you, I also gave pupil, but nevertheless, Kabbalah can't affect the halacha, and Hasidus can't affect the halacha. The Rebbe is right, that Lubavitch eats in a sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, Thank God you followed the Gemara in Sukkot Daf Mem Zayin. Now, you asked why I looked down upon the Messianic. So here I'm going to come to this actually in my lectures on Monday morning when I deal on a contemporary outlook on Israel. So I have to tell you, it could be B'chol Davadah, there's someone who could be Mashiach. I have a lot of Torah in this, and I'll entertain you when I speak about it, how I spoke about it in 68, and Rabbi Shneur Cutler wanted to cut my throat off, and then he couldn't attack me too much in public because it was a fundraiser, and my participation helped in fundraising. And I was very close to Shneur from my days in Lakewood. I was mamish a ben bayit. You know, my soul is caught between all the good in YU and all the good in Lakewood. I underline good, underline that with three kavim. So then I heard the Rav via tape, and I heard exactly the same Torah that I was zeicher to say. It was my Rebbe's Torah. I was saying it on my own. And now when I say it over in the class in a few weeks, I'm going to say that it's in the name of the Rav, although I was zeicher the kavein to it. So, if you asked me who could have been Mashiach when I was growing up and then when I became mature, there's no question. There was no one like the Rebbe. You look at the Rambam, my own feeling is, had he only come in Aliyah after 67, it would have been epic making. The whole Matzav here in Israel would be different. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm a Zionist. I'm entitled to my opinion. I'm a Mizrachist, an old-fashioned Rav Kook Mizrachist. But what bothers me about the Messianists is they really believe the Rebbe's alive, and this is very frightening with the Christological implications. And I can only tell you one thing. I said, I've debated with some of them. Now I don't even waste my breath because it's like they're brainwashed. It's like a cult. And I remember I say to one of them, how can you say, the Rebbe is dead? So he says to me, don't you say, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam? I mean, when I heard that, I have to tell you, that ended the debate. You understand? I walked away. Oh, with all due respect to the Rebbe, David Melech Yisrael, is David Melech Yisrael a little proportion here? Lokum Kamosha Od, Lokum David the Melech also has a unique status. He's not Moshe Rabbeinu, but David means Mirat Yisrael. But the truth is we say David Melech Yisrael, not that he's alive, but his ideas are alive. So if you want to tell me the Rebbe's ideas are alive, I sign on the dotted line. But on the other hand, to take the attitude that Rebbe is really alive and he's hiding, I mean, where does this come from? And you quote to me the Gemara and said, I spoke about it, not in the Kollel, I gave a shiur elsewhere, on the whole Sujin Chelek, if he's among the dead, he can be like Daniel. It doesn't mean Daniel's going to come back to life. The Pshat in the Gemara means he has to, if it's someone who's already not alive, it has to be someone with the qualities of Daniel. That's the way I understand the Gemara. But okay, That I hope explains my position. Now you ask me about how I can have such positive words about Rav Shach, and Rav Shach caused so much Akmas Nefesh. Also, being that I am a chassid of the Rebbe and I hear sichur of the Rebbe and how the Rebbe has so much Akmas Nefesh from the statements of Rav Shach, please help. So I have to tell you, I'm not exactly a devotee of Rav Shach. I think it's quite obvious, and even in my lectures on Agudat Yisrael, the criticism of this, certainly what he did to Agudah, how he split it, and I'm not a devotee. You'll hear in the lecture which I gave on Monday, and now I'm finishing Sunday's lecture, so you hear what I have to say. And certainly when it comes to his attitude towards general culture, his attacks on the Rav, but I'm a Litvak, I love learning. I love that he found the one part of the Rav to attack, and all that's been published in the name of the Rav, he found the one concept that ain't achinami. If the Rav is right, Rav Shach is finished. And now he attacks him, as a Litvak, I love it. But I also, the fact that he took an open check and threw it back and threw them out of his office, come on. And I know the players, I know Rav Yudah, I can't go into detail. Some things, Kvod Hashem Haster Dava. But I don't know how many Gedolei Yisrael, an open check and you can write in $100,000. It meant nothing to that guy from Belgium. He could have written in $100,000. I could have written in a minion, actually. But all right, I guess you write in the Tafasta Maruba, Lo Tafasta. How many Rosh Hashiva would say, Nu dafach nemen de geld, Nu dafach es gutton mit de geld. I can repeat you what the Gera Rebbe told Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, but I'll break down in tears and want to rip Kriya, so let's forget it. And here, he rejected it. Then you got to remember, I'm only a human being. My good friend, Rabbi Dr. Ephraim Shach, Afishach, who just died, we were classmates in Bernard Revel. So you have to understand that our relationship goes back to the early 60s. And we both got our doctorates. I got it a year earlier, he got it a year later. And I came in Aliyah, I met him again. You know, we've been in touch. He came back. He was actually in America when I came in Aliyah. I was in the principal or assistant principal of Flatbush. And it turns out my children's shul is where he davens, and of course, because of my children, I davened there Shabbos Mincha, I davened Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I davened there, I gave Kiddush this past Shabbos, I was Chatan Torah, and I met someone there who became our student Sunday, Monday. It's amazing, Yaakov, amazing. So, you have to understand, you have to forgive me, but let me just tell you one story. I was the guest, as you know, with the Mizrahi in Australia, and in Melbourne, I became very close to Rabbi Yossel Legutnik. I don't have to tell you who he is if you're a Chabatnik, and he's married to my student Sterna. And they were so blown away by the Shehurim and everything, his name, Upgegeben Kavod Malachim. You have no idea. His driver would drive me around. I used his private elevator, and his driver, an Australian guy, like 6'7", and he would say to me, Rabbi Kutnik tells me, I don't want to repeat the words, you know, you're one of the most important rabbis in the world. He didn't know what to do for me. And I said, you know, it's so hard for me to accept kavod, you have no idea. So, Yossel gave me a tour. Sterna gave him the word that he's to stop business the 2 weeks I was there. It's true. She called him back from Europe. You have to hear my Rebbe. And he took me around and we go in to the Lakewood Beis Medrash there. I take a look. It's dedicated to Yossele and Sterna Gutnik. I say, Yossele, you built Lakewood a Beit Medrash after all they talk against the Rebbe or against Chabad? And he says to me, I asked the Rebbe what to do. And the Rebbe said, Adarabba, build them the Beit Medrash. So I think that explains my viewpoint. Finally, you mentioned about the Rebbe that I had mentioned. The Rebbe didn't write Sfarim. You can fill up this room where I'm speaking now, and it's all done. I stand on it. You're right. The Rebbe wrote a few Sfarim. He looked at it with one eye. Come on. Halavai. I had a Talmud who would write up my Shiurim, okay? My Sunday classes, at least they would find out in NYU. I'm the only Rebbe who's given Shiurim in all Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch over the years. And there isn't a Gemara from Shisha Sidrei Shas that I haven't quoted. There isn't a Gemara I didn't quote over the cycle of 20, 25 years. Halavai, Midav Seichesein. And all right, my Monday class would get me into trouble, Hashkafa, you understand, or the 22 years on the Rav, Mela, but I don't mind getting into trouble on that. I'm a big boy I'm big enough that I can accept criticism, and I'm the first one to admit if I'm wrong, and I'm the first one to say there are other points of view too. I'm well aware of it. And I want to tell you, people have contacted me, can we write? You always give permission, write up what you want. No one has written up in both the Sunday and Monday classes, and I know people are teaching courses based upon my classes. I can give you cities and examples in universities, and I only make one tonight. They should mention it's from a little guy in Jerusalem. But one person I have to tell you I've never met in the Highland Park area, Edison Highland Park, he wrote up all the Makarot to 2 years at my Sherman Makarot on my Sunday class. It's sources I quoted, not in Shas and Paiskim. And it's over 500-600 pages. It's an addendum on the YU website. But the Rebbe was Zaycha, Baruch Hashem. That's why he's the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I stand on it that he, of course, he edited it. It says Muga, Lo Muga. But the end result was he had unbelievable chassidim. And among them, Ga'onei Olam, geniuses, very unique. And thank God he was Zeicher, and I need not tell you that the Chabad Library today, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of svarim, if not over 1,000, all in the name of the Rebbe. Anyway, I hope I've answered your questions. I want to thank you all for listening, and ani modeh laKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a difficult period in my life, time-wise, because of family responsibilities and my mother's health, etc. And ani modeh laKadosh Baruch Hu that I hope I have finished out the Sunday shiur with dignity. Okay, now, you want to go right on to Monday?
Maybe we'll stop recording and then we'll restart.
Okay, so, yeah, okay, so do as you wish. Are you recording here too? Okay, great. So